Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
No, 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 no! Let's try something else. Hit it, Joe.
Three idiots sharing memories with fans who watched the show. It's the best of both our worlds.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Both Our Worlds, the official, unofficial Hannah Montana podcast, the show where three idiots share our memories of Hannah Montana with the fans so they get a chance to see the other side of the best damn Disney show ever. I'm one of your hosts, Jason Earls. I play Jackson Rod Stewart on the show.
I'm Shannon Flynn. I was the director and acting coach on the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Hannah Montana. Yeah,
Hannah Montana.
I am Douglas Danger Liebline. I was one of the writers and co-executive producers of The Hannah Montana.
The Hannah Montana.
The Hannah Montana.
And now, before we jump into today's special episode, and it is an incredibly special episode for us here today, we'd like to thank you for all your support. Start our show off like we normally do with our little Hannah Montana spotlight, where we share a few of the comments that we've had throughout the week. We love them. Keep commenting, keep asking questions, keep interacting. We love it. And this week, our three comments that we'd like to share, our little favorites, come from our YouTube episode, Three Idiots and One Dahlia.
Our first comment is from Ivan Magnus Martinez 78, who wrote, "Please have her back again. This is such a fun and good episode."
Obviously referring to Dahlia.
Dahlia, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll be back again.
We will.
Yeah, she was a great guest, a fan favorite. And like you said, all of our comments are related to her today. At Sierra Blackwell 9596, she commented, "Aw, Jason, I so understand your feelings around wardrobe. Aww. As a short, mid-sized girl. It can be frustrating and honestly upsetting sometimes. LOL, this episode was amazing." That was me talking about how I got a little self-conscious during fittings or whatever. One of my favorite parts of the show is we do get a chance to, like, sort of share our own experiences. Sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're negative, and people relate to it. And so, yeah, I'm glad that I got to connect with Sierra Blackwell.
Graceland Girl 8 commented, "One of my favorite episodes so far. It's been so much fun learning where all of the iconic looks originated from. Thank you all for sharing that with us, the fans."
Okay, so if you guys think you want to be part of the Phantom Montana spotlight in the future, just leave a comment or review on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, call your mom, tell her you love her, reminder that the podcast exists, whatever, doesn't matter. If you leave a comment, you're in the running. And then the last thing before we get to business is make sure you check out bestofbothourworlds.com for all of our videos, behind-the-scenes photos, giveaways, and a little
merch! Merch!
All right, Shannon. Okay, so this very special episode. Let's stop messing around. And it's a special episode. Why? Because we have somebody here. Are you guys excited?
I am so excited.
I'm so excited, too. Guys, there's a million ways that you might know our guest today. He began his career in entertainment at a very young age with the breakout lead role of DJ in the animated movie Monster House. He became, settle down, Shannon. Way more to go. He became a household name, dominating Disney Channel with starring roles in the Disney Channel original movies Life is Rough and Hatching Pete. This person voiced the role of Jeremy Johnson in over 80 episodes of Phineas and Ferb. Played King Bradley in almost 50 episodes of Pair of Kings. Released a self-titled album with multiple hits, including Hey and The In Crowd. But I know him best as one of my favorite co-stars from my favorite Disney show ever, playing the hilarious Oliver Smokin' Oaken in about 90 episodes of Hannah Montana. This person has had a very special place in my heart for a little over 20 years now. You know him. We all love him. Let's give a warm welcome to the man who had the jerky, Mr. Mitchell Musso.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry you had to sit through the first like 6 minutes of this podcast just to get to finally introducing
you. Soaking it all in.
Yeah.
Can we like just make Mitch an honorary idiot today? So
yes.
Four idiots.
Four. Yeah.
There were definitely four. Yeah. We're so happy that you're here.
Yeah.
When was the last time you saw these two
idiots?
Over a decade.
I feel like you and I have sort of like come in and out. We went a couple of years without seeing each other. Then you had that movie premiere that we went to, where you and Emily and Moy and I, we all like grabbed dinner. And then a couple of years went by, and then we just recently started doing some convention stuff
together.
We're on a journey.
We got dates. We have a lot.
Yeah, we actually got really, really lucky because you live in Texas, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so the whole reason he's in LA is because we're doing a little NostalgiaCon together
this
weekend.
We're doing the convention run.
Yeah.
We're meeting the fans face to face as Mitchell and Jason and Jackson and Oliver. You can't beat it.
Give him back.
So we're absolutely blessed to have you here. We have like a million questions. We are looking forward to catching up. So Doug, take us out.
My first question, starting at the beginning, did you always want to be an actor, or did you fall into it? Was it always a dream, or where did the journey start for you? I mean, at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, were you play acting? What were you doing?
Yeah, and it was I think 9, but. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it did find me, right? All the parts found me.
Yeah.
I don't think I was ever chasing acting or music. I've been so lucky where I'd always been working.
Were you an extrovert as a kid? And were you like always?
Well, the only reason that I worked was because my grandparents grew up next to Kim Dawson.
Okay.
So they had a house on Park Lane. Kim Dawson, which is a massive agency in Dallas, Texas. Kim Dawson is no longer with us, but she lived next door to my grandparents. She saw my little brother and said, "Oh my gosh, you're the most beautiful kid that I've ever seen. Can we make you the face of the junior, you know, the adolescent, the toddler, whatever, the child for, well, just Grape Juice, the JCPenney's, Dillard's, catalog kid." I was jealous of the attention. Once you see a little brother in the mall, you're at the mall, you're in Dillard's, and you see Mark, and he's the little face. He's got his little football and his shorts on and whatever. And I was jealous of that, and I said, "Well, Mom, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to be that."
Mark's not even athletic. You can't even play football,
right? Like nobody talked about my brother like that. No. But he was like it was blood. Larger than life to see that. And I said, "Well, I want to do that." Right. And so my mom had brought me to Kim Dawson, and they said, "Well, you're not good looking enough to be a model." But no, I'm serious. But maybe you your facial expression, you might be good as an actor. Mm-hmm. And so she sent me out on a commercial audition for Borden Milk. Milk is big in Texas. I don't know if it's everywhere, but it's Texas brand. Borden Milk. And so I booked that audition. And from that point, it was like 17 commercials back to back. I didn't miss.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
I just kept like getting these commercials until we ended up booking Secondhand Lions together, which was the first breakthrough role. So it's me and Mark on a set with Haley Joel Osment, Robert Duvall, Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. Something bigger than we could ever even imagine. Jennifer Stone is our sister. So we're all in this little circle. And in walks little Emily. And I know her as Trudy, with the pigtails.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like in awe.
Right.
I was enamored because, oh my gosh, this is
so cool.
Oh, come to find out years later, we're all on a show together.
I had forgotten that you had like that way, way back connection with the Osments, like from Secondhand Lions. That's
the
so
very
cool.
beginning.
That's crazy. Incredible.
I know. It's pretty incredible. But right. And so that's how I got in.
So a career born from jealousy.
And let me tell you, it's worse than that, because then all of a sudden my older brother starts this band with Miley's older brother,
Metro Station.
Right. And they're larger than life. And I said, I want to do music too. I want to do some music. And this is how lucky I am and how these things like just sort of fall in my lap. Disney said, "Sure, you want it? Absolutely. Let's put you in the studio." I didn't realize how big this is. I'm sitting there with Brian Maloof. I'm with the top dogs of music making and producing and writing. And, you know, not knowing how important these people are and how blessed I am to even be here. Right. I'm just lucky, I guess. Yeah. Like
talent rises. So,
but I don't want to shit on your story. But sure. I will say, at one point, that first season of Hannah, somebody from Disney did come up to me and be like, "Are you interested in doing an album?"
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Right. But that's when they didn't know you were 30.
Sure.
I will exactly. say this though. Yeah. There is something really great about not knowing, like how high those people, like how incredibly important those people are. To just be like, yeah, you know what, I want to do this, and then not knowing that, holy shit, I'm working with like some of the top producers in music. Yeah, because then you're just in there doing your thing.
And I was on the set of Hannah, I would have treated it completely different.
Like
how? I don't know if that would have done the show justice. I would be more professional and less. Living in the moment as a kid,
but you're an adult now, and you were a kid.
I'd look at it differently.
We're probably a third of the way through the first season right now on the podcast, as far as like the episodes that we've rewatched and talked about. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is pretty obvious is how like raw you guys are as actors, but you're all so freaking funny and charming, and you commit so hard that like if you were just like really studious, little professional, like little robot actors, I don't know if the show would have been as funny or worked as quickly as it did. You guys were all just so good together, and you were so fearless together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There, and I actually thought about this the other day. When you're an actor and you're reading a script, you know, they'll call it a cold read, which is the first time you read the script. Yeah, right. It could be amazing, which typically it is amazing if you're a good actor, right? If you know how to memorize lines or read a script, whatever, if you know how to read the format. It's really good. And then you could work it 100 times, and then it's really bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
There's something very fresh and organic about not thinking about anything.
Yeah.
And just being there in the moment.
Right.
Which is, probably why the show was people connected.
Dude, I believe in that so much. I would always say to like directors, or not always to directors, but I would let them know if they asked. I've never seen anything that was funnier the fourth take than it was the second. In general, right. Like you want that like that excitement and that that first time energy.
Yeah.
When you've heard the joke four times, it's just never as funny. So like get it as quickly as possible. Get it as close to that first take as you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But and I would also say that like working with you guys as an acting coach, it was all, I never wanted to overwork you guys because your instincts were always spot on. And after a while, as the show went on, like the writers knew how to write for you. So there was no need to kind of overwork a bit or overwork a line and stuff like that.
I think the only the physical stuff that required a certain amount of physical timing was good to like rehearse and get that sort of like that muscle memory of the joke. But like any of the dialogue stuff, you want to get that as like fresh as possible.
Yeah, but that was the thing about you specifically, Emily. You were so good right off the bat at the physical stuff. We like when we're watching the early episodes, we're talking about there was some awkward moments, you know, growing into the part, us awkwardly writing because we didn't know who you were to write to you or performance stuff. But the physical stuff was always out. That fall, that backwards fall on the couch.
You do like there's a trust fall where like you're having a sort of a
crisis.
It
was the Shakespeare episode.
I don't know if you remember it or not. Yeah, but but Miley's supposed to catch you and you do a trust fall and she turns to answer the door and you just like fully like a board commit to the fall and it's perfect. There's another one where you're buffing my car with the waxer and you touch the car and you like literally fling yourself off.
I remember.
And it's just so, you're so high in the air, you're so committed to the bit that like from the rip, you guys as physical comedians were like spot on.
There's something super fun about throwing yourself on a furnace. Right?
But I think if you were overthinking it, if you were too professional, I think you would have second-guessed yourself.
Yeah,
and right. There was no, like, there was something about not having that fully formed brain
yeah.
that allows you to, like, throw yourself off camera.
She's
know?
Calling you dumb.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying
dumb.
Like.
She's calling me an idiot. Yeah, I'm dumb.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah. So you ended up doing like things like the like Monster House and you know other things leading up to Hannah, which I was actually very intimidated by you in the beginning because you were coming off Monster
Still
House.
Still is.
A bit. Funny side note, and we'll probably cut this because it's such a non sequitur. But like for there was probably a 6 month period where I was texting Mitch like trying to connect with him or whatever, and I get no answer, and I was just like, oh god, he's too cool.
And I really, don't try so hard.
No, he had changed his number, and it turned out it was like, not because of me, but like
Jason but pulled up his phone. He has like 7 different numbers of,
and there were like, none of them are right.
There's like some 76-year-old woman somewhere who's
just
going like, "Who is this guy? Keep texting me."
But yeah. So anyway, you know, you were coming off Monster House, mm-hmm. And then the Hannah like audition came up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. talk about the audition process a little bit, if you don't mind.
The audition process was, I mean, mine was so easy because I just did Life is Rough with them. So they were like, "Hey, we want you to come do Dolly Hollywood or whatever it was," and I was like, "Oh, that sounds great. It's a pilot and it's with you and two girls as your best friends." They said, "Perfect, let's do it. One's a pop star at night, and then she's your best friend during the day. How cool is that? Awesome." So I was already kind of far ahead.
Yeah.
I the only audition that I had was the Mix and Match with.
Do you remember who you read with?
I remember Mylene Emily. That's all that matters.
But you read with somebody else for both of those roles as well.
They had Miley was always Miley.
Okay.
Right.
By the time you.
I think that there was probably another one of me. There's probably another Oliver there. I don't remember who it was, but somebody else reading with Miley and Emily and whoever the other Lily, the person right. who was auditioning with. Yeah. But when me and Emily and Miley walked in the room, and it's you can still look up the audition. It's live on YouTube. There's something about it that was just chill.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Yeah. And, and how excited were you when you got the call that you booked it?
I was even more excited that when we got the call that it was picked up.
Picked up to series.
Yeah, and you know, you don't really know what that means. All that it was hey, you and Emily and Miley are going to do this show for, you know, the next year or two or whatever it was. That was exciting.
Were you during the pilot? I felt like by the time we were done shooting the pilot, I was pretty confident it was going to get picked up. I didn't know if it'd be like a runaway hit or anything, but I was just like, this just feels like it's going to go.
I didn't know because I wasn't smart enough, like Shannon keeps saying, you know. I just wasn't, my frontal lobe wasn't there.
Wasn't developed yet.
At that point, you
were such a professional. You're like, this thing? Okay, fine. I guess I'm doing a show now.
All I heard was, hey, you get to move to LA full time. And I said, perfect. I'm so excited.
This was the show that brought you to LA, like.
Of course.
Yeah.
I remember the first long-term show. I remember you specifically on the pilot, especially the scene in the schoolyard when you were like, "Hey, babe, how you doing?" and like walking through. And I remember like.
I don't remember that.
But I remember like Lee, who shot the pilot and was my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I have to keep mentioning that. It's contractually obligated. But she had to do very little to try and pump you up to get to that level of confidence. And especially when you were hanging outside of the window, "I just want to comb your beautiful hair." And then you falling out the window. It was so effortless.
Oh, I do remember that. Thank you for saying that. Now I remember. So they put a chair, you know, when you, in that audition room, it's this massive table. It's probably worth $1 million. And you have all the executives around the table and they're staring. Here's where people are auditioning. They put a chair in the middle of the room for us to climb up on top of to do the scene, right?
From
the back and then get on top of the chair. And I fell to the ground and nobody can see me. And I remember crawling around the chair and I crawled up on their $1 million table instead. So I got up on their table and was talking to them. And it was like, that was it.
They
and
were
I
like,
remember that,
I
remember them telling me that that was like, you're the kid, that's why.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I said, okay, cool.
It was, 100%.
That is so funny. Did what did you like the script off the beginning? Like, were you like, oh, this is like, going to be super fun? Or were you just like,
dude, it's Disney.
Yeah, writing needs work.
I thought it was so cool to be a part of a Disney show because that point in my life, I was watching Disney. Yeah, I was watching Even Stevens and Zach and Cody and Raven, Lizzie McGuire. I watched all of those things. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, and
didn't really know what it meant. But because I've been working on other things and I was just in front of cameras and doing something, but being with Disney was, and all of you guys.
Bro, going back and watching those first couple of episodes, that of all of the cast members between the pilot when we shot it and when we got picked up and started shooting those, you're the one that changed it. You were like this teeny little round faced, adorable little thing. And then you just like grew and you like something. I was like, well, he's half a man now.
Not half a man, it was a big difference.
No, Jason's half a man.
Yeah, I thought there was a big difference from Miley, too. I mean, Miley looked much different.
So different. Yeah. And then the flipper, we've talked a lot about the flipper having
that's
and
right.
how that her voice.
That's right.
Forgot about that. Words out.
When we were shooting, how much freedom did you feel to like sort of go off script or improvise or sort of make elements of the character your own? Did you feel like beholden to it, or did you?
From the very beginning.
Do you know?
I didn't feel held back about anything unless they told me to not do something.
Do you know where that came from? Like the confidence to do that? Was it, for me, Steve Peterman actually pulled me aside early on and he was just like, you're funny. We trust your instincts. If you want to try something, just let us know and we'll like give you the freedom. Did anybody ever like,
Spoke to us like that, Jason. They spoke to you like that. They were like, "Oh, you're doing good, kid."
They were like, "This kid,
good job, bud.
This kid has an old soul."
We got you.
Yeah, you have an old soul.
No, they were like, go back to the classroom.
Go back to school.
Go back to school.
Oh, my God. Do you want to talk a little bit about what that's like as a child actor, what it's like to be on set, you know, and the grueling...
Balancing
school and everything? Yeah. So on sets or set school, you're also homeschooled, technically. Yeah. So we have teachers on set to teach us rather than someone that your parents hire or your parents teach you. We graduated a class at 3.
Yeah, right.
Emily actually... genuinely graduated. She's the only one who
graduated top of the class.
Yeah. She graduated top of the class. Now she went to college.
Yeah. Right.
So, but set school was fun. I mean, it was so fun that they had to put dividers to block us off from each other. And we'd throw stuff over the dividers to talk to one another. And typically one of us or two of us would be out of the schoolroom, right? Because they're doing a scene and you're not in that scene or whatever the case is. Okay. So a lot of it was like one on two because we got two teachers and you. Going to school. It's very normal. It's school. 20 people or two or three people.
The thing I could never wrap my brain around is how we'd be like shooting and they'd be like, well, we got to get a segment, a chunk of school. And it's like 8 minutes or 12 minutes.
You have to get 12 minutes.
It's like, it's something as short as 12 minutes.
It was a lot of
So you're learning in 12 minute chunks while trying to stay connected to the scenes you're shooting. And like,
maybe it made it better. Because you'd be so excited to get out of the room. You know what I mean? You'd like rush out there and go, I can't wait to throw myself over the beams.
I think it's great for the show, but as far as your education goes, learning in 12-minute chunks feels like... I'm like, I don't know, man. Yeah. That's so funny.
Well, you get an education so you can get a job. Yeah. He already had a job.
That's true. And he was very good at the job.
You know, I don't know.
I'm sure you
so
have to
funny.
Learn. You know. Okay, so you were working, right? But you had never been on something as like the juggernaot that Hannah was.
I don't know, ever again.
Yeah, but when did that settle in for you at, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old? When did it hit that oh my God, my life is different because I'm on this show. Like, did life change when you went home?
When the show premiered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at an In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. I skateboarded up to an In-N-Out with my buddies, mm-hmm. My little friends, and drinking my Arizona green tea. And I was and I go in to use the bathroom, and I'm at the stall, and one of the kids goes, wait, are you that? You're from Disney Channel, right? You're the Disney Channel kid. And I was like, yeah. And then from then on, it was, you know, after that, it was people breaking down barricades. Right. So it went from 0 to 100 immediately.
Do you remember when we would shoot before they had like a security protocol in place? Because like the show premiered and then we had audiences that were coming to watch taping. And then all of a sudden people were just descending onto the set to meet you guys and stuff. And just the crush of people that would come down to try.
It was like
and,
an hour-long meet and greet after
every episode. Yeah.
But that was even before they were like, okay, we're going to shuffle you through so you can take a Polaroid picture with, you know, the cast of Hannah Montana. It was like, how did anybody not steal stuff off of the stage or like come and just assault you guys after taping before security got involved?
No, assaulted us. I'll tell you what, it got to a point where the audience wasn't even just, you know, fans off of the street or people who really loved the show. Although these people probably love the show. It was like superstar actors and singers up there with their children.
Yeah.
And monster directors and producers and executives and even Disney corporate people. Like, they were the audience.
Right. And they were assaulting you after because they
I didn't want to say it, but right, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it became, our audience was like very important people, you know.
Like who? Do you want
to? Like Tom Cruise and Connor and Jaden Smith and Will Smith and Obama's kids are coming to the set. Eminem's trying to come to the set. He's got to bring his guns and stuff like that. It's like it was everybody wanted to be on our set. Right. Everybody wanted to be on the set. So we had to turn people away. It became security now where people couldn't go to the back rooms. You definitely can't walk into the dressing room area. Right. Unless you're us or somebody of you like y'all. Like, it got to a point where they really sheltered us away from people.
Do you think that did that was that to your detriment? Do you think did it feel like like you were had to be removed from the thing? I don't know if that makes sense.
I mean, if you're saying if it feels like did it make us change in the bad way or a good way?
Yeah.
Emily and Miley turned out great. I'm okay. Right? I think they did whatever they did were fine.
Yeah.
I always felt like it ends up being such a tricky thing where you go from like Texas, now you're on a show, it pops off, you get really, really famous, and like you're the most important thing in this sphere for a while. And that's awesome.
But all we did was have fun.
But then it also ends.
Right. Like, it wasn't like that. We were never like thinking like that. We never talked.
During the time we didn't think that way. But you do end up like having this, a little bit of an existential crisis when it's over. Right?
When it was over?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because
when it was like, you're saying like an episode or like the show?
No, the show.
When the show was over? Yeah. Dude, I was sad when we had to leave work.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like God forbid the show's over.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I would, again, I would have treated it very differently, which probably wouldn't have been in favor of the show. Right. Mm.
But I think
because it was like a whimsical, nonchalant, just sort of like, see you tomorrow, see you next week, see whatever, right?
Right.
I can't wait to get back to work. And if we weren't at work, we would be snowboarding, right?
Yeah.
I'd be flying to Tennessee and spending the night out in Tennessee with them for a few days, right? Or at a time, a week at a time, or jumping on the tour bus for a few days. Or
like doing the Disney Channel games, right?
Yeah,
like,
and this went on forever. I mean, when Emily was in college, I'd go up there and stay and visit her in college. It's like this went on until it didn't, right? Until probably like boyfriends came into play or something.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah. But yeah, the sad when it was over, yes.
Did you have a favorite episode that you loved? Like, what was, did you love shooting?
I was asked yesterday, my favorite, everything was great about the show. And I hate to single it out because I wish it was like, you know, something with me and Miley and Emily. Mm-hmm. My favorite bit that we ever did was cheese jerky. Oh. It was by far my favorite bit that we've ever done. And it was so good that we ended up redoing it with Jesse McCartney.
Right.
Or a different rap. It was a different rap.
It was a different version. Yeah,
but it was so impactful that they're like, we had to come up with another rap. And we knew it.
Yeah.
This is going to be so cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And rightly so. It was live for however many years.
Do you remember us rehearsing that? Like, I remember, like, the words were on the page. Yeah, you and I were just sort of, like, figuring it out. Like, who was going to say which parts. And you're the one that suggested the beatbox.
Sure.
I'm sure.
And say, what?
No. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember coming down to stage and hearing it and going, what's he doing?
Well, we were having fun. And beatboxing at that time was super cool. You know what I mean? Because I felt like I could do it well.
I was really nervous about it just from the standpoint of, like, every time I had to do anything musical on the show, I was, like, very, like, self-conscious about it. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to hang. But, like, I remember you being very nurturing to me, being like, I'll do the beatbox, we'll separate it this way. It's like, we had it all choreographed out. And you did a really good job of, like, making me comfortable through that. And by the time we showed it, I was like, oh, this is going to kill.
Yeah. Oh, I knew. I just, there was something about it. And still today, it's just such a...
You know, Jason has to do it everywhere he goes now. You know that, right?
And as his agent, he is not allowed to do it anymore.
He's not allowed to do it anymore.
Unless. Well, the two of us have not done it in 17 years or whatever.
17 years.
Yeah, probably.
So what's it going to cost?
Yeah,
so what's it going to cost? How much? Okay, throw us a dollar figure. We'll raise the money right now. Throw us out a dollar figure. We'll raise it.
We're waiting for the bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I got a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For us. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is
so special.
It's the one thing that we have, like, held on to for. Ever.
I've done it alone.
I've done it You've alone done it as well. Alone.
I've done it alone. So wait, what are we talking
done
about?
It alone.
I
it's
have
coming.
Not done it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Stay tuned. All right.
How did you feel about, like, the evolution of your character over the course of things? Like, do you feel like you liked him better in the beginning? Like, you like where he ended up? Do you have any, like, strong opinions about just sort of, like, how he evolved over the course of the series?
I feel like a lot of how he was evolving too was I would just say something and you guys were like, okay, cool. You know, Mitchell's doing music and stuff now. Oliver's going to start doing music.
Yeah.
Awesome. He let him sing a couple songs, which I need a kick drum. Boom.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, those little things.
We learned early, play to you the actor's strengths, right? What do you guys do well? Let's play right into your wheelhouse. And you guys were so interesting. And, like, so it was not difficult to write to what you did. We didn't have to sort of cram you into the whole
wheel. You didn't force us to do anything.
Yeah, no, we just,
never.
You were naturally funny. Jay was naturally funny. Miley, Emily were naturally funny. We just played into who they were.
And so. I have to say, like, doing that American Idol adjacent episode when you really got to sing was so exciting.
Yeah.
Because it was such a departure from anything we had seen before in that character. And
totally.
Then knowing that that's where you were headed in that direction and then being able to follow through with that in season four.
I ended up being, like, cool enough to start dating Emily, which is tight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, cool.
Did you ever feel like early in the show, did you think you would eventually circle back around and Oliver would date Miley? Or did you always think that after you learned the secret and realized, oh, I'm not into her because she's Hannah Montana, that, like, Emily was a natural place to go?
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I think that was probably on y'all.
But because, like, watching Harry
y'all
Potter...
Y'all could have gone either way. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
But watching Harry Potter, you're like, Hermione should have ended up with, you know, Harry. Like,
right.
And she ends up with Ron. So, like, but did you always feel like
no,
Oliver should have
I don't
up
think
with
that would have been proper for Hannah. Because Hannah Montana's larger than life. and Emily and Miley were the best friends. So I don't think that that would have been good for the show.
Right.
Yeah.
It would have brought Hannah Montana down a little bit.
I definitely don't think you guys should have.
Honestly.
Yeah, I don't think you guys should have dated like after Emily, just as opposed to you ever ending up with Emily. Did you feel like Oliver should have been the...
I honestly never thought about it like that, but I was not mad.
Yeah. And not that the show didn't undermine itself at every turn in terms of the secret, but... Right. After you learn the secret, there was that moment of Oliver being grossed out by the fact that it was Miley. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there's that moment of like putting that in there that it would be gross. Like, as it should, right? As it should be, because we were her best friends, right?
Right. Yeah.
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 And I think it was a wonderful dynamic to have these three.
Whatever you did something great.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
now the thing that I don't remember is, so you were a regular for the first three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then with fourth season, which really, as we all know, wasn't the fourth season of Hannah Montana. It was the first season of Hannah Montana forever.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Because it was a different show.
Doug has a giant axe to grind here.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into it in a year and a half when we get to those episodes.
Disney accounting.
Yeah.
However... all we knew is we don't get Mitchell for every episode. We only get him for two episodes, right? So, like, what happened there? Like, it wasn't like we made that decision. Do you remember what was going on with
this
you?
This is another part of it that was like, you guys just, Disney, I don't know, I guess y'all weren't in control of that, but Disney, you know, I asked for my own show. And I was shooting Phineas and Ferb, I was shooting Prank Stars, and I was shooting Hannah. That first and last episode of what was it called?
Forever.
Hannah Montana Forever. Because I was at a point in my life that I just thought I was so cool, I needed my own show or something like that. And they're like, yeah, sure. What, you know, we already have one written. I was like, what is it? You play a king of an island. And I was like, yeah, I like that. That sounds perfect. You can do the theme song and everything else. I'd love to do that. Would I have gone back and done every episode? No. You know what I mean? I think that I did what I was supposed to do
and wanted to go produce something. You because you were great, you know.
Obviously you guys have awesome guest stars and people that came on the show but I didn't think it was necessary. No. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
You felt like you had done that, and you're ready for the next sort of challenge or next...
Or the next season would have came out is probably what the back of my mind was saying, and I'll do another couple episodes and it never came. But
sure.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to end because you don't think about it like that when you're at that age. I didn't think about it like that until now, you know?
Right.
Man, if we could do another season, my gosh, if we could just do another episode, if we could do a movie or an hour-long episode... Mm-hmm. I would 100% do that.
Yeah.
It's probably never going to happen, but that's not because of us. You know what I mean? That's just because that's not where everybody is in their life.
Right.
And we all have a say over our lives now.
Yeah.
Right? I think that what we've all learned over these years of working, especially with the channel, is how to say no to things. Because before, we didn't say no to really anything, right? Unless it was just something so ridiculous and our teams were like, he's not doing that or she's not doing that. When you had Emily or Miley or you or me, Moises, we didn't say no to anybody or anything that y'all thought of.
Right.
Yeah. But none of it was like
life-threatening
or changing or anything like that. So we were happy to little give, little take. Hey, I want to sing? Of course. Hey, you have to do these lines? Sure.
Right.
You know, whatever. I always felt pretty confident in that it was forever. It wasn't like the end.
Right.
And
it was sad. It was sad for all of us when it was the end.
But you guys, you guys felt like you had told the story though, right? Like by the time
we felt like we had no more stories that we could have made changes. You know, like that whole idea that we had at the end of the fourth season, which is what is life like when the secret is out for her? I think we probably could have done another season of what is it like for Miley when the world knows her, when there's no more secret Hannah Montana, it's everybody knows. We probably could have done another year of that, but everyone had moved on at that point. Like the channel had moved on. So.
I remember Steve Peterman said when at the beginning of the season, because we all knew that it was going to be the end. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things Steve Peterman said that was so poignant was he said it was so great to be able to write episodes that all were that where the story arc was all coming to an end. Like every single episode was building on something bigger so that it could so that there was a conclusion. Right. And I thought that that was so interesting. He said it's rare that you get to be a writer on a show where you know that this is going to be the end and you get to and then you get everything you get to write comes toward that conclusion and how awesome that was. And I feel very lucky because one of the episodes that you got to come back for was one of my episodes, which is where you said that Jake was cheating on Miley. Mm-hmm. We had Sheryl Crow on that episode and you guys got to, like, that was so much fun.
I also didn't ever expect not that I didn't expect it, because that's a bad way of saying it. I didn't ever realize how large of a star Miley was going to become. So I always envisioned, well, people have sequels and people have you know, like say Jace and I go do a spinoff of we're now parents of kids or whatever, which would be fucking hilarious. Yeah. but I didn't think that it would ever be to a point where it's like, oh shit, she's never coming back to do a television show. She doesn't have to and doesn't want to.
Right.
So I look at it a little differently. I love music, but I love television and I love movies and I love being in front of the camera and making people feel something, right?
And look, right. And we often talk about how we would all come back if any version of this show happened again. We would jump on it. Just because of that love.
Yeah,
that
was there. Do you have a soft pitch for what you think the a spinoff or a reboot or whatever would look like?
That's his job. That's not my job. Let everybody do their job.
If they were like, Mitch, what do you want to do? You give us a direction and we're gonna make it happen. What's
if you say, hey, Jason and Mitchell, we have a show for you, I'd say, let's do it.
Yeah.
Anything.
Perfect.
I like the idea of single fathers trying to raise two girls, you know, who wanted to be pop stars,
and they start a little band.
I am just making this up as I go, but it's a great idea.
Back in the day when we were shooting the show, did you have anybody that was like a favorite guest star, or a favorite like person you got to work with that was outside of the core cast? It could be any of the reoccurring people, like anyone.
That is a really tough question, and I plead the fifth, because we had so many wonderful people on that show.
Right.
I mean, we had so many wonderful people
on
that show.
But there was
somebody
that came.
You just said Sheryl Crow, and I'm like, Dolly Parton. I'm like, we've had so many wonderful
people. Yeah, everybody has the same answer, which is, well, how can you not say Dolly?
But because she's like, I don't.
Yeah. That is valid. Yeah. It's an extensive list.
I know.
Very cool people.
When I was 15, 16, 17 years old, like any normal teenage boy, I was out there drinking, getting high, trying to get laid, like any kid, like any normal kid.
This directed to me?
Yeah, it is a question for you.
I'm just kidding.
No, because you have a unique perspective, which is we did it. First of all, there was no social media when I did it, thank God.
Yeah.
And second of all, nobody cared, right? My parents cared that I was out late, you know? Nobody cared.
Yeah,
you
that's
did
true.
It. Under the microscope of America, like, you had to grow up and make those mistakes and do all that stuff with everybody watching.
Yeah.
Was that, like, how was that? I mean,
different.
Yeah.
I guess it's different.
I feel like maybe the biggest difference was, like, whereas first season, if we wanted to go to Sushi Q down the street and eat, nobody bothered us until the show came out. And by season three, if you go, like, you're dodging paparazzi following you.
For
and stuff
sure.
Like that. So,
yeah, and as a kid, as a 15, 16-year-old kid who's just trying to, you know, talk to girls and have fun and whatever, it's got to be maddening that you can't go out.
Not at all. It actually works in your favor.
Fair enough.
Have you gone back and watched the show in the last 15 years since over?
It's one of the, like, I can watch the animated stuff. I can watch Monster House. I can watch Phineas. I can't seem to watch much of the live action anything.
Yeah. Are you still too self-critical? Or is it just like you just...
I don't know. Is it that or is it just like... yeah, probably that.
Mm-hmm. I had a hard time
watching
it. I had a hard time watching it when it first came out because I was too close to it and I was very self-critical. But like now, if I go back and watch it, it just, it's like a show that happened a long time ago.
And we watched our takes during the Friday night when we would play the show, all the playback, and we watched the show. We lived the show. We were the show.
I hadn't rewatched the show since we started doing this.
There's something so different about doing like an animated show or an animated movie where you walk into a booth, you're by yourself, you're with writers and the people, execs or whatever, and your sound guy, and it's just you and you're living it that one day and you're done. And you, typically, like most, it got to a point with like Phineas, I was in there for like 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Super easy work. And then a show like Hannah, where we're there 5 days a week, the whole day, every day, morning through, you know, from the second that we woke up, it's an hour and a half drive to the set. Once we're done, it's an hour and a half drive back home or now, you know, LA traffic.
Yeah, no, I know. So I didn't realize you guys lived that far away.
The whole week was Hannah.
Yeah.
It wasn't 10 minutes, right? An hour. It was the whole entire week. So, yeah.
And we were doing giant season orders, so it was like 11 months.
Yeah.
At a
time. Was the whole year.
Yeah,
it was
the whole year. And then a couple of months down.
And then you got to do a movie or whatever.
Yeah.
Or all right, the Disney Channel games, right? Do you want to talk about the Disney Channel games?
That's
why I'm wearing red. I don't know if you remember, we were the red team.
Oh, I should have won the red one.
No, you're good.
You had another red one, too.
You're good. Right. You're good.
It's okay.
The contrast is good.
All right, that's what I wanted to do. Yeah, I wanted to. Okay. We were red team. We were red team, and we
kicked the snot out of people.
Did you
enjoy doing those things, like the Disney Channel games or Friends for Change or any of those cross-promotional things?
Friends for Change. That's right. I think it was this. Disney Channel games and Friends for Change were two completely different things.
Totally.
One, they flew... Disney Channel Games was the greatest thing that Disney ever did.
Ever. Mm-hmm.
By far. I'm baffled that they took it, that they stopped doing it. And they stopped doing it when we were still doing, So they'd fly us all to Florida and we'd all be together, not just us. This was international. So it was Disney Channel stars around the world on their own shows. And you're hanging out, playing games all day. And then at night you're at the Animal Kingdom all together at this beautiful resort at Disney World. So those trips, even when they held it in California, that second one, although Florida was the best, right?
It was the first Cheetah Girls,
Zach and Cody,
it was High School Musical had just dropped.
Yeah, it was the coolest thing that Disney ever did. Because we all got to be together and just be kids. It wasn't, very scripted. There were certain things that we had to do promo-wise, but it wasn't scripted who's winning and being... We were competitive and we were having fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't predetermined who was going to win what?
Absolutely not.
That's fantastic. We were literally competing.
It was fun. And then go to the park. Mm-hmm. You know, you're off for 2 days. Go play at the park. And you'd be with everybody or whoever you were gravitated towards that day.
Yeah.
Riding a ride and they'd stop the ride. Nobody's allowed on the ride, right? They pause the ride. You have this line of people. And they're like, oh, my gosh, we're so excited to see all of you guys on this ride. And they're like, okay, do you guys want to go again?
Yeah.
We go, run it back. And we go again. And they'd just wait in and just be like, it was very presidential.
I mean, those are the sort of things that will warp your sense of reality a little bit. Where you're like, oh, we're kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the park now and you're like... And then we did
the water park.
All of it. And honestly, one of my favorite parts of it was everybody really enjoyed the games, but it was bragging rights all year. Like, we would just talk massive shit to each other.
We were the best.
Yeah, all right. Red team. Go red team.
Red team. I don't know.
Exactly. Did you guys shoot the Disney Channel games and like Friends for Change and stuff? Did you guys do that on hiatus or was that during the longer hiatuses or was that during the week long hiatuses?
That was absolutely during a hiatus for sure. That was no week
in between
hiatus.
Seasons.
The thing is, I don't think it was like that for everybody because there's the rotating schedule of stuff shooting.
Oh, for sure.
And so some people would probably like. Gearing
up three
to go down
weeks
for a week
later,
and,
they were starting their show.
Yeah.
Maybe 6 weeks for us or two
Got
months,
it.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we looked at it like that. Work wasn't work.
We're just like, we're going to Florida.
We're going to Florida. And then, hey, we got back. When are we going back to set? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean 8 weeks? We got to wait 8 weeks to go back to set?
Yeah. Ugh, those were the
longest. Let's go snowboarding. Let's go. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you remember. Do you remember we went, it was Mitch and Emily and I and Emily's family. We went up to Mammoth to go snowboarding.
Sick invite, thanks.
Dude, it was awesome.
It was awesome. And it was in our contracts that none of us were allowed to do it.
That is true.
And I decided I was going to try the half pipe. As a 30-year-old at the time.
It's awesome.
Amazing. I had a walkie-talkie in my jacket. Do you remember? I fell on the walkie-talkie and cracked my ribs.
I couldn't tell
anybody at the show. So for like 6 weeks, I'm doing stunts and my own shit with cracked ribs trying to not get fired off the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's one. Do you have any, I know we're kind of getting to, someone who's seen all the sides of business. What would you tell young actors or young performers or young YouTubers and creators that want to have this kind of life that they think that was the life they perceive to be in, you know, behind the camera and the life that you have now?
I would tell kids who want to be actors or pursue and chase their dreams, and whether it's online or on camera or singing, to go for it. Do you. Do I think that you should run to L.A. and pursue something in hopes like to read scripts? I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worked for you.
It did.
Yeah. You can't win unless you play, right? You got to try. Follow your heart, follow your dreams.
Totally. Right. Or be jealous of your brothers.
Yeah, right?
or your sisters, whatever it is. Yeah.
Reminded me of how hard it is to be a kid and how unbelievably hard it is to be a kid that is famous, that everybody knows. Like, you can't live a normal life.
But you're right. Some of the girls, your first kisses and stuff were...
On camera.
Whether they were guest stars or...
Right, yeah. You know, and it's a workplace romance. It's not just...
A lot of firsts. On that show.
Really?
A lot of firsts.
We're not going to talk about that.
A lot of firsts just in life. Just
right, yeah. First, no, true.
A lot of things.
I have a favorite story, which is when I was pregnant, which was 90% of the time that I spent on Hannah Montana. But there was a day when all of you, well, Miley and you and Emily were being so silly on, it's when, actually, and it was the episode when you found out that, or when Miley found out that you two were dating. Mm. And I remember we were in the Rico set, and you guys were so not focused and you were so just flipping around, and some people behind me when I was directing were getting very, very frustrated, and they were like, get in there and get them to focus. And at that time I was pregnant with my youngest, and I went in there and I was like, guys, it's getting very tense behind the monitors. I need you to we just need to get through this scene. We just need to get through this scene. By the way, I'm pregnant. Okay, let's go.
Let's roll. You gave me flashbacks just now. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and then it was, you're what? Yeah. And then I said, I'll tell you more, but you have to focus.
I remember.
And then you guys did, and we got through the scene. And then I have a picture that we'll put up, which is you and me backstage, where I am very pregnant
with Nora.
And you used to talk to my baby in my stomach all the time. All the time. And it meant the world to me because it was like the sweetest.
That was a very sweet story. Doug, yours was okay.
Welcome to their lives.
Shannon, thank you.
Thank you. It was working with you guys meant the world to me. It was quite possibly some of the greatest moments of my career is being with you guys.
Me too.
And being able to work with y'all. It was truly... Okay, I'm not going to cry because then people will make fun of me.
Because Miley would make fun of you.
Somewhere in the back of my head,
I have a very quick memory. Whenever I think of you, literally for the last like 17 years, if somebody says your name, there's an image that pops into my head. And it sort of has to do with the Disney Channel games that we played. Mm-hmm. I remember that last year, us kicking everyone's ass. You, me, it was like Nick Jonas, Anna Maria, Brenda Song. Just a murderer's row of awesome of awesome Disney people. But after we won the games, there was the big party afterwards. It was like the big dance, like mixer thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody was hanging out, joking around, having a good time. And I have a million pictures with everybody. But there's a picture of you and me together celebrating, got arm around each other, and you're kissing the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. And which I did a lot.
Which I did a lot. Because all of our families were so close. Everybody was just like, But for whatever reason, it's the sweetest picture, and it like every time I think about it, it like makes me remember how lucky I feel that like we got to work together way back when, and that like you were just such an important part of my life at that time, and it is, and I just the image is always in my head of just like just how sweet that was and how much I appreciated you, but I still to this day it's my favorite picture.
I can kiss it right
Do you
now.
Have the picture still?
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. No problem.
So for your fellow cast members, we'll tie it up with this. What like give me a like a one sentence like a descriptor or a, like
the first thing that pops,
first
to your
thing
mind.
Pops into your
first
head.
Thing that pops to your
so
mind.
Like if I say you know Robbie Ray or Billy Ray, what's give me describe like the experience working with him, how you feel about him, just like what
father is, figure
father figure
ah, you got
rock star father figure
Jackson or Jason
my baby
Moises
my other little baby
you cannot love that dude Emily.
Beautiful queen needs to be treated like one.
Yeah.
Always.
And then Miley.
My sister who's larger than life, who mm-hmm. I admire tremendously.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh.
Yeah. I think the thing that hopefully people get watching the podcast
and
or watch
miss all of y'all. I would tie that with all of y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miss everybody.
Yeah.
Always. Yes. Even being this close, still, you're still like, we can get closer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Move those chairs together.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, I think that's hopefully what people get out of the podcast, watching the show back, seeing anything that we ever post on, any of that stuff. Like
yeah.
How much we all just genuinely had fun together and how much mm-hmm. it was a real family thing. A lot of shows say that. I don't think a lot of shows are really that.
Well, I've done,
and I think that it really was that for me.
So
yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked on a lot of shows. You've worked on a lot of shows. They're not all like that. This one was special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cast yeah. and writers and everything. It's
so easy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it goes back to what you said before is like if we weren't living in the moment, if we didn't, I think we all knew kind of instinctively how special it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we can only appreciate how special it was in retrospect. And we couldn't have that unless it was 20 years later, like mm-hmm. recognizing it with our maturity and our age, like how incredible it was to have been a part of something like that.
Very blessed.
Yeah.
We were very, very lucky.
Do you have anything you want to promote, shout out for yourself? You got anything coming up?
The only thing that's coming, like the only thing that we're talking about right now is this little journey that you and I are on, which if you guys are out and about and we're in your city, please come see us.
Mm-hmm.
There's some music in the works. So we're working on some music stuff.
We'll promote the hell out of all of it.
Oh, I cannot wait.
You let us know. We'll shout it out as much as we can here.
And Doug's writing us a new show.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, the new show. The new show.
That's right.
Yeah, so, right. So basically, if we sort of track our socials mm-hmm. anytime we're going to be in a city doing our thing, right. We'll let everybody know. And it has been really fun. The show we did in Dallas was like an absurd amount of fun with the fans and taking pictures
get
and telling
ready.
Stories. And
yeah.
It was
get
it
ready.
It was so much fun. So
We're traveling.
Thanks, you guys, so much for hanging out with us. If you want to watch the pod, make sure to subscribe to Best of Both Our Worlds YouTube channel. It helps a ton if you leave us little comments. Please shower us with praise for Mitch for coming on the pod. We're so excited he hung out with us. Smash the buttons, ring the bell, all that. I'm very, very tired. Follow the show at Best of Both Our Worlds podcast on Instagram, on TikTok at Best of Both Our Worlds, and on X at Babau Podcast. Don't do that. check out the website, bestofbotharworlds.com, for all the cool merch and pictures and links to all of our episodes. This has been Best of Both Our Worlds, created and hosted by Jason Earls, Douglas Danger Liebline, and Shannon Flynn. Executive producer, Renee Colvert. produced by Jeff Murphy, filmed, edited, and finished at Quest Pacifica, with special thanks to Katie Boyum and Lee Anthony Smith. Original music by Joe Serafini, social media strategy by Shelby Stahl and Beloved Social. And with that, I will say, good day, Daddy. I said good day.
Woo, 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 woo.
We did it.
Thanks, buddy. Let's shoot this.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.